1 Thessalonians. What we may do, it's Lord will, this morning is we're going to cover God being our helper, and we'll need a lot of help, plenty of help. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, but this morning I'm going to speak about a particular subject matter in here that Paul speaks to the church at Thessalonica, and several verses in different chapters, and also in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's covering two subject matters, that is the rapture of the church, and then, of course, the revealing the Son of Man, revealed from heaven, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And so he's talking about two different things in here, and he puts it in perspective, and so I'm going to show you in here when he makes comment about it, and try, God being our helper, to explain it so it'll be, you can understand it, and you'll be able to right divide the difference that there is. We already know by all other scriptures and teaching the other things that transpire and take place concerning the second coming of the Son of Man. That's when he makes revelation from heaven, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's when he's revealed from heaven. And that's when we come back with him. He comes back with 10,000 of the saints to be magnified and glorified in his saints. That is when he's revealed from heaven. But he'll come before that time after his church, after his body, after his bride. And that'll be a transformation, a change in a moment, a twinkling eye, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. They're not to be confused, the same event. They're entirely different. They're 7 years difference in that, or there around about, the 7 years of tribulation period. And I believe just as soon as the church is raptured out, some folks say there's no such thing as a rapture. Well, rapture means catching up or taking away, or in this case, falling away. And he makes it plain if you look at it and God reveals it to you. He's talking about two events would take place before, of course, the end time would come. One of them would be the falling away first, and then that man of sin, the son of vision, would be revealed in his time. That Satan himself, exposing himself to be God Almighty, having power, signs, and lying wonders, being able to rain down fire from heaven, deceiving the very elect that were possible. That's the tribulation saints, 144,000, know their God, do great exploits. They will not be deceived. They won't be corrupted by flatterers, but some of the Jewish people will. By flatterers, he'll corrupt them to make a covenant with them when it's convenient him to do so. He'll break that covenant he makes with the Jewish people in the midst of the tribulation period. That is three and a half years in the middle of the 7 years. He'll come in and break that covenant, drive them out. Of course, that'll be the end time. God will feast by the 144,000, know that God do great exploits. They'll be pushed out to all the world. And then it said when the gospel preached all over the world, the end would come. That's tribulation saints. That has nothing to do with us. Although we as a church, as a body, have responsibility to go out in the highways, the byways, the edges, and compel them to come in. He told those early disciples in Jerusalem first, if you can't get the gospel out as a good witness and the testimony of the people that you live with and live there around about, you need to expect to get out any further and do any good. If you can't influence them, but first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, then to the uttermost part of the earth. So we all have a commission and a command to get out in the highways, the byways, the hedges, and compel them to come in. But in here, I want to show you a few verses of scripture. If you look in chapter number 1, if you would please, you look in verse number 10. Now, in closing of the first chapter, he says something in this particular verse, and I just noted that this morning as a study. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come. Now, he says, we're waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, we're waiting on, that is, the church. He's speaking to the church here. Thessalonica was one of the churches. He's talking about the rapture of the church. We're waiting on him for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come. He comes. He went on the Mount of Olives when he went up, and there were disciples standing. The angel said to him, why stand ye gazing up? The same Jesus that went away, and in like manner will he come again. Well, how did he go away? In the clouds. He's coming back in the clouds. And the trumpet of God will sound, and then he cries, get up, we shall be called up. Change in a moment, twinkling eye, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, that's going to be an event spectacular. That's going to be a wonderful occasion, an event for the believers, born again, the church, the dead in Christ first. They got just a little bit further to come, in which will alive remain, be caught up. That's a moment, twinkling eye. That's an event that, of course, you can't record and nobody can see. It's just, the eye won't be able to see it. They won't know what took place. It'd be like the twinkle. They will not be able to respond. That is the unregenerate, the unsaved. They have no clue about what's taking place, for the devil himself shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe in. Paul talks about, we believe a lie. That's what Paul talks about in here in 2 Thessalonians. But in his first chapter, chapter number 1, verse 10, he starts speaking then here about his coming after his church, after his body. He said, which delivered us from wrath. Now, we're not under wrath. We're under grace. We're not of the night. We're not of darkness. We're of the light. We're of the day. It makes that very plainly and very clear. So when you read that over there in 2 Thessalonians, you study in there, it's not relating to anybody that's unregenerate. He's talking about the children of the wrath. We own another different plane, a different calendar, or a different time set. We'll be caught up. That is the rapture of the church. And that will correspond and take place. We find out by reading of the scriptures. They're all in perfect harmony. Tells us exactly that there's a difference. And of course, we'll go up first, and then hell will break loose on this earth, tribulation period, and then we'll come back with him. We'll be magnified and glorified in his saints. You'll be coming. The Bible said we're 10,000 of his saints. So I'm looking forward to the glorious friend, the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then if you'll drop over to chapter 2, verse 19, verse 20, the closing two verses in that chapter. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Jesus at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And again, he's talking about his coming after his church, after his body, after his believers. He's addressing, remember here now, the church. He's speaking primarily to them. He said, you're our joy, our hope, our joy, and our crown of rejoicing when he comes. Now, I said this, and I thought about this morning. I preached it a lot of time. It's not going to be rejoicing for everybody that's saved. Certainly not. Most folk are saved. There won't be no rejoicing as far as when they face him. It's going to be sorrow and shame and suffering of loss all the time you wasted, squandered away, act like a fool, and tried to obtain things for yourself and had bad habits and then give up, then back up and start over again so far as your service is concerned. But you let the devil continue to work on you, and you offer God some crumbs, and he's not going to accept your crumbs, and you all be ashamed of accepting you, offering up your crumbs. That is, what time you have to offer him, and after you've done the things that you want to do, you all be ashamed of yourself. But it'll be a time of suffering, of sorrow, of shame when you face him at the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul said, you're our hope, you're our joy, crown of joys. And he can make that statement because he labored over them and loved them and gave it his very best and won them to the Lord. He came to them. Of course, he preached in power and demonstrated, and he practiced what he preached. He lived what he preached, and they seen it in him enough in him to realize that he was preaching the right gospel, and so their hearts were stirred. By the way, this church at Thessalonica was a very devoted church, a dedicated church. Read about him. He bragged on them in a godly way, not bragging after the flesh, but the Lord in them. He boasted on them about, or bragged, if you use the word you want to, but he makes a mention of boasting. Boasting he done was boasting in the Lord in them, but he boasted on them about their faithfulness, and he wanted them to continue to grow in grace and in knowledge, and of course to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this chapter 2, 19, verse 19 and 20, again he speaks about the Lord Jesus coming after his body, after his church. Now, I'd like you to look over that if you would, please, then we'll get on over. If you look on over in the closing of chapter number 3, and he talks about in that as well. And in chapter number 3, verse 13, I'd like you to notice what he said in this. He's not talking about, of course, the coming of the Lord after his church. He's talking about we're coming back with him. How do you discern the difference? Let me show you. That then you may establish your hearts and blame and hold before God, even our Father, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, what does that mean? He's not, if people is coming after his saints, that's the rapture. But when he's coming with his saints, that's us coming back with him, taking vengeance on them that know not God at the battle, of course, of Armageddon, when he'll come with 10,000 and thousands of the saints. So he's coming to be magnified and glorified in and with his saints. He'll be leading all the hosts of heaven. If we'll be riding on white horses, that's a sign of victory and of course, of conquering. But he's the conqueror, and we're more than conquerors to him that loved us and gave himself for us. But he's let us be a partaker of his divine grace, and one day after a while, he'll share his glory with us. What a wonderful time that will be when King Jesus will come, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming, and he'll bring down judgment upon the abominable, all the ungodly, all those who refuse and rebel and would not have him nor know him as one's personal savior. So they'll wind up, if they're still alive during that time, many will be slain and dead, drop off into hell, but there'll be those that are left behind. To make up the force of the Antichrist himself, the devil, the man of sin, will be revealed in his time. He can't be revealed, but it's his time. Mystery, he said, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Well, it is. That, of course, he's hidden right now. He's not made manifest as of yet. But wickedness or iniquity is already at work. We know that. You don't have to get a ginger look around about you. Sin is on every hand and getting worse and worse and worse and worse these last days of apostasy, which will be in that verse, chapter 4. If you would look at verses 13, the verses number 18. Here he speaks about, of course, the rapture of the church. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, as he talks about as a Christian, They don't die. Their bodies are just in a sleep. Now, that is until a transformation or a change, this old foul body, this old corruptible body, put on incorruption, put on mortality, then brought fast the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting, O grave, where is thy victory? You see, the sting of death, the sin of strength, the sin of law, but thanks be unto God which giveth us victory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always about the work of the Lord, so that you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful hope. What a blessed hope. What a real hope. Praise God, he's alive, he's the real, he ever living. He's set on the, in the mercy seat of heaven itself, interceding the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that wonderful this morning? But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not even another which have no hope. He said, those that are sleeping in him. There's no such thing as soul sleeping. He's talking about the body that's been a restful sleep. Although it's deteriorated, it's going to be still, he says, sown in corruption, going to be raised in incorruption. Sown as a mortal body, be raised in an immortal body. It's going to be a wonderful time. A change, a transformation, when it comes back after his body. He saved us, that is our soul, spirit, and body. But the body's going to be changed. That body could not enter into heaven. It was full of sin. It failed to sin, and it had a sentence of death in it. But he's going to resurrect all those that have died in him, which are alive in him. He called up in chains in the moment of twinkling eyes, so shall we ever be the Lord. Wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren, certain which are asleep, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. And now if they are asleep in him, don't you worry about it. Don't you sorrow about them. They're just a fallen asleep. That is their bodies, but they be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. They're in a state of paradise, and they have a temporary body that they're housed in until they come to the transformation. They get their eternally mortal body, glorified body, like another son of God. Now, I don't know what kind of body that they're in, what kind of body they're in right now, what kind of house they're in, not made with hands, they're housed in some kind of body up there. But we know when we see in Revelation, we saw the souls of them on the altar crying out. We saw their souls. Now, I don't know what kind of body. I think it'd be some type of temporal body, till God, of course, changes that old body that we are housed in now, get that eternal glorified body, likened unto the Son of God, a body of flesh and bone, not flesh and blood, but glorified flesh, prepared as this body was an earthly body, and that body would be a heavenly body. And the bore the image of the earthly, but also bear the image of the heavenly. Isn't that wonderful? An immortal, glorified body, never to be tempted anymore by sin. Sin has no more dominion over us. Thank God we've been made alive by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. So if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Isn't that wonderful? All of us sleep in him, God's going to bring with him. For this we shall need by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. He said you're not going to stop them, but you're going to prevent them from getting up. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful time that'll be when Jesus comes after his body, after his church. He'll come skipping among the mountains, spiritually speaking, leaping upon the hills. The voice of our beloved will come as he calls forth. Lazarus come forth. He that was dead, bound in grave clothes came forth. Beloved, when he cries out with body's church, every person has died in him. Those that are sleeping and which are alive in him, thank God there will be. Praise God. The song says, ain't no grave going to hold my body down. I'll have a brand new body. I'll have a brand new life. Looking forward to the going to heaven. He saved the very best to last. Wherefore, comfort one another. What a wonderful comfort with these words. Isn't that wonderful? Paul said, if I just had hope of Christ in this life only, I'd be of all men most miserable. Of course, he knew what it was to be abundant in him because he was sold abundantly. He was devoted and dedicated. And lived, of course, a great life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing that mattered to him was living for Jesus. But he said, if I had hope in his life only, I'd be of all men most miserable. There's the blessed hope. He's coming again. He saved the best to last. How wonderful that'll be. And in chapter 5, the time of season, brethren, I don't need to write on you. Now notice what he's talking about here. The time of the season. He said, for the day of the Lord, the great and notable day of the Lord, when he comes. That's when he's coming, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now, I want to point out a few things, and I want you to listen to my voice as I point them out. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And he's talking about, you remember he said if the good man of the house knew what time the thief was coming, he'd have got up there and he'd have got him when he came, but he didn't know. And nobody knows the great and noble day of the Lord. That is when he's going to come. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming after his body. And certainly nobody knows when the day nor the hour is when the Son of Man courseth himself, and we come back with him to take vengeance on them that know not God. He said to yourself, know perfectly that the day of the Lord, now notice the day of the Lord, not the rapture of the church, there's great difference. And you'll have to look in the Old Testament all through it. You'll find out the great and notable day of the Lord when it comes. It's taking vengeance on them that know not God. Even in Revelation, you'll see that. Let's not be confused with the rapture of the church. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, for when who? For when they, that's the unsaved, not you, not the church, not us, not the body, but when they shall say peace and safety, they'll think that this Superman has already solved their problem. The things are going pretty well, although they sold out their souls to the mark of the beast, and they're, I guess, content, satisfied with the way things are going to some respect. Of course, they can't be, because God's going to be pouring out wrath of them. They think they've obtained, but when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That's not us, that's not them, and that, of course, Paul wasn't talking to anybody who had a relationship with the church, but the unregenerate. But ye, brethren, know the said, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're not of the darkness, you're not of the night, you're of the day and of the light. Notice what he said. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. He's making a distinct separation. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out. He's talking about the unregenerate, and those that are saved by the grace of God. Y'all are, again, the children, brethren, that is. You're all the children of light and children of day. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, in this sleep, the word sleep here, he means let's not be found like Jonah was, fast asleep when he had been put in jeopardy and in perils all those mariners. He was on that ship going down there to Tarshish where he paid the fare thereof. He was fast asleep in a great, gigantic hurricane on the Mediterranean Sea there, and he was fast asleep. Let's don't sleep. Let's cast off all the works of darkness. We're not of the night, but we can certainly have the works of darkness. That is sin. Let's cast off the work of darkness. Let's get on the whole arm of God, the arm of light. Let's do the best we can. Let's watch and be sober. He told the disciples, said, I want you to sit here and I want you to watch and pray. I've got a little bit about a stone thrown. He fell on his knees in such agony, blood, like, of course, sweat from the brow, come out of his face and dropped on the ground. Pure blood. And of course, he came back and he found them fast asleep. He said, sleep on, man. Of course, the hour's come when he come to get him. But he don't want us being found asleep on the job. Sleep when we're up there as a watchman crying out on the wall. You ought to be warning the people. You ought to be living like you ought to be living and practicing what you're trying to preach so that you won't be found asleep. Of course, that is not the night. You're not a night. You're the day. But sleeping on the job. You don't be found where you're not watching. You don't want to be intoxicated. That is with the flesh. But notice what it said. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, that's those that are of the night. They that be drunken, see, they're intoxicated and drunken in the night. They're overwhelmed with the intoxication of the world. They're consumed by the world. They're of the night. They're not of the day. They're of darkness. And of course, they're not of the light. So they're not like we are. He said, you want to be in your labors and your works. You want to be watching and praying and being sober-minded. Labor while you can. He said, for the Lord, of course, coming real soon. But let us who are of the day be sober. Here's what we're to put on. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed, notice this, appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God has not appointed us to wrath. We're not the child of wrath. We're not of the night. We're not of the darkness. We're the day. We're the light. And we're to be sober-minded, clear-thinking, vigilant. The enemy, our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking to and fro seeking whom he may devour. He said, God's not appointed us to wrath, but obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that is, that already we're still in the body, or out of the body, we should live together with him. Makes no difference. For he said, don't be grieved about those that have went to sleep in him. The Lord himself shall send from heaven about the voice of shouting the archangel, dead in Christ will get up, we shall have be called up, changed. Don't worry about those that are sleeping in him. He's going to come after his entire body. And as Brother Sammy said, not a ruptured rapture, but a complete rapture. The Bible don't talk about a ruptured rapture. It talks about a complete rapture. That is all the body, the believers, the born again, the church. We live in a dispensation of grace where it's called the church age. And the church was born on the day of Pentecost. And the church will go home when Jesus comes back after his bride, and the groom coming back after his bride, after his body, after his church, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, alive or asleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourself together, edify one another, as even as also you do. Then he goes on to say a few things, and I hope that you read that. We'll go back and cover that, for the Lord willing, we'll get back into chapter number 2 of 1 Thessalonians. Now, I want you to look in 2 Thessalonians, if you will, chapter number 1. I want you to notice what he's doing. He's speaking to them and giving them a lot of good instruction concerning the rapture of the church and concerning the revealing of the Son of Man when he comes from heaven and the Antichrist, the man, the sinner, son of perdition. He's already told them in word when he's there with them, but now he's writing a letter speaking to them and confirming again what he told them so they'd have clear understanding in case they'd forgotten what he'd said. So he wrote these two letters, these two epistles, the church at Thessalonica, and they themselves, he talks about also in here, how that in Jerusalem, the saints that were in Jerusalem, how they suffered great persecution, heavy persecution, affliction from the Jewish people. He said, you in like manner from your Gentile people there, you've suffered quite a bit too, but said you've been found faithful. In other words, God rewards you for your faithfulness. Now, if you look in chapter 1, he starts speaking here in chapter 1. Let's read verse number 16. It's right to stand with God, for we commit tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel. Now, you see, that's when he's revealed. He's not revealed when he comes out of the church. Nobody knows that. It's the quick, it's the fast, we're out of here. And then, of course, hell breaks loose. Russia blow away America. God bless America. The nation gets God's going to be turned into hell. And boy, they're going to blow away America. America is a Jewish friend of Israel today. I'm all for the Jewish people. God bless Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love be. God loves Israel. He made Abraham a promise. He's going to fulfill that. Of course, I know Israelites have got to be saved just like everybody else does, but they will be. God's got a remnant to save according to the election of grace. 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe to know that God will do great exploits through a great tribulation period. Now notice this. And to you that are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and admired in all them that believe, because the testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this call to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the word of faith with power. The name of Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, chapter 2 is a very important chapter. I want you to look at this with me, if you would, please. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. So, I want to tell you about him coming, about our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken. He said, it's good things that are going to transpire and take place. And there was two events he's speaking about here that will transpire and take place. One of them, the rapture of the church. The second one, the revelation of the son, of the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of addition, and then, of course, the Lord Jesus coming a second time, breaking vengeance on them that know not God. Let's read it. That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by letter, nor by word, nor by letter is from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, he's speaking about here the day of Christ. He said, don't worry about the day of Christ coming. He said, something's got to transpire before this time takes place. He said, there'll be two events before the day of Christ takes place. He said, here's what they are. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now that is the rapture of the church, the catching away of the taking away of the body of Christ. And then the second one, then that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes, he gives what some of the things that he'll be doing, who opposes, exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You'll have powers, signs, and lying wonders. Now there'll be the evil trinity that's working. Of course, Satan, he's a liar and the father of it. He'll send his two puppets, his two pimps, into the world. And of course, one of them will be himself in a human body, like God sent himself in the form of human flesh and became the Son of Man, born of a woman made under the law. He's going to try. He's a duplicator. He's an imitator. He's a great forger. I mean, he's perfect at what he does. If he made a counterfeit dollar, we couldn't tell the difference. He's that good at what he does. He duplicates it as much as humanly possible, down to the T. So he'll get into a body. We'll have these two people in Revelation talked about them, the two beasts. verse beast. Of course, there's the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. The second beast is the false prophet. He puts all worship toward the first beast. That's how you know who's who in there. He puts all the worship. They make an image. Of course, nobody don't take this image. 666, fondly hand the forehead. They'll be killed and slain. And of course, most of the world, of course, they love themselves more than anything else. They'll do exactly what's been commanded them to do. He'll not allow any type of worship except he himself. He proclaim himself to be God Almighty, have a wound by a sword and killed, and yet does live. He'll get up. And so they'll marvel at him, the beast that had the deadly wound, and yet does live. So that's in Revelation, which you can read. That man saying, all that is worship, so that he is a God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. See, he makes that covenant with Jewish people. He breaks that covenant in the midst of the week, that is that 7 years. That week there is sabbatical weeks that represents 7 years. The middle of that week, and you can read that, it's also, you can read it in Daniel, you can read it in Revelation, 42 months, that many days, 1230 days, and that's 30 days, but it all figures out 3.5 years, but time, and half a time, time a year, time 2 years, half time, half year, it's all together, it's in harmony, so there's going to be 7 years of hell on this earth. Great tribulation period. So you can study that by the scriptures. But in here, he said, in the temple of God, show himself that he is God. Remember you not, when I was yet with you, I told you these things. He said, remember, I've already told you, but I'm going to tell you again, and use me some letters so you can understand and read. If you need to do, read again and read again what I spoke to you about at the first time. Remember you not, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now you know what withholding, that he might be revealed in time. What's withholding him from being revealed? Something's withholding him from being revealed. What is it? Well, the mystery. That is, it's a secret right now. Iniquity, he's not manifested yet. It's still a secret. And the mystery of Christ was not manifested, but it came. It was a secret. Not many prophets of old, men of old, knew about this secret. They weren't spiritual enough to obtain. Many of them were. David was. Zechariah was. Isaiah was. I know Jeremiah was. All these men of old that were meat-eating Christians knew about things that they didn't write about them. They knew about them, but most folk did because it was a mystery. When it came, Paul talked about the mystery of the gospel. It had been hidden in time past, but it's now made manifest by the preaching of the gospel. And so that's how folk get saved. Christ's mystery is no longer a mystery. It's been made known. So this is a mystery right now, and iniquity is at work, but it's a mystery. He's not revealed as of yet. That's what he's talking about. Only he who now led it will let until he be taken out of the way. The taken out of the way is the church. It's the force, it's the power. It's holding back the forces of the Antichrist himself, the man of sin. It's got to be the catching away of the falling away of the bride of the body of Christ. And then that man of sin, the son of vision, will be revealed until he be taken out of the way. When he's taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is at the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You see, they send away the day of grace. If they've heard the gospel, when the rapture takes place, they're going to wind up selling out their souls to the devil, wind up dying in sin and going up. Their time of the dispensation of grace will be over with. Noah preached the gospel. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was not under wrath. Noah was under grace. We're not under wrath. We can't be in tribulation period. That's a total impossibility. Only ones going through tribulation period are the saints that do know their God. And they're sealed from wrath during that time. The 144,000. We, on the other hand, already in heaven. John said an act of this in the Lord's day. That's Sunday, the first day of the week. That's the day he got up from the dead. The Lord's day. He must be self-anguished, must be hereafter. Hereafter what? After the end of the church age. He was caught up into heaven. And then you see him in heaven. You see the church in heaven. And he explains what the church represents there. The 24 elders, all kindred, tongues, and nationalities of every blood, every kindred, every tongue, of every nationality in heaven, was seen in heaven. That is the church in heaven. As they fell down before the Lamb, and they praised him with the four beasts, and all those things transpire in heaven. The church is not on earth. The church is in heaven. And then the seals, the seven seals. He didn't see anybody that's found worthy. He wept much. Somebody told him and said, wait, there is one worthy. He alone was worthy. Nobody could approach God. Nobody could approach God if it weren't for the Prince of Peace, the mediator between God and man, that man being Christ Jesus. He's our mediator. He's our representative. He's on the real mercy in heaven, interceding for saints according to the will of God. Thank God for Jesus. He represents our behalf. Now, beloved, he's the one, only one that come and approached the Father, took the book out of the Father's hand, loosed the seven seal there. Seven stages, seven periods, Seven periods, seven different times of events that's going to take place during the great tribulation period. He alone is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb, the full beast. And the elders fell down on their face and cried out, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, isn't it wonderful? Which he is and what's yet to come. He's coming again. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not all his benefits. I said, how in the world can we get them all? Lord God, we don't know them all. I'm not aware of them all. He blessed me so much during the daytime. I don't mean to, but I just take it as it just happened. I know it didn't just happen. I don't mean that, but I'm not mindful of it, although I want to be. What a wonderful Savior that we serve. Now notice it. He said, when he's taken out of the way, then that wicked one shall be revealed from heaven, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. That's the word of God, the sword of the spirit, the word of God coming out of his mouth. It consumed, destroyed him with the brightness of his coming. Even him who's coming is at the work of Satan with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. But all deceivers unrighteous, them that perish because they receive not the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they shall believe a lie. No matter what they've heard, no matter what they know, they're going to believe this Antichrist, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, and he's going to deceive the whole world, bring the world under one world government, one world dictatorship, a one world religion, which he will be, proclaim himself to be God Almighty. He is the God of the flesh. That they all might be damned who believe, notice it, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Said they'll be damned, they'll be doomed, because they didn't delight, they didn't have pleasure in righteousness, but in unrighteousness, so they'll wind up having then the unpardonable sin, selling out their souls to the Antichrist, the man of sin, the mark of the beast, and they'll wind up having their part in the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone forever, never, 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 there'll be no rest, day nor night. Now I want you to read that. Those are some things that I want to speak to you about pertaining to the rapture of the church and the great and the notable day of the Lord. In this, God led me to do so. I was intended to do what God wanted me to do, but I had a mind that it was the will of God in Thessalonians, but to teach. And then when I got here, he began to speak to me about these subject matters. So I did. Now when we coming back to that, get into that, you'll have more light, more understanding, and you can understand about more what I'm saying when I get into Thessalonians. The more you hear, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith is increased every time you hear the word of God, you receive the word of God, you believe the word of God, you respond to the word of God, your faith is enlarged. And of course it depends what how good a eater you are. I'm talking about eating what he gives you. Sometimes you want to be picky about eating how little kids are, and sometimes I was like it when I was young and little. If I didn't like the looks of it, I didn't want, here, try this is good. I don't want that, you know. You eat that stuff, but have you tried it? Well, no, but I don't want that. How you know you don't want none of it? You ain't never eat none of it. You need to eat things that are healthy. Eat everything you eat. If you're a donut eater, and Randy tried to get me to eat that ice cream. I said, I don't believe I want no ice cream. I'm trying to lose a few pounds. Oh, come on, get some ice. I said, no, I don't think he was sleeping playing with me, cutting that way. I said, I don't want it. And so in a minute, he said, here's your ice cream. I said, I don't want any ice cream. I walked around and I said, Bubba, you want some ice cream? He said, yeah. And I said, there you are. And Randy come around and said, you're supposed to eat that ice cream. Well, I had enough resistance not to eat the ice cream, although it was tempting. I was up at Sherry's here about a little over a week ago, I think. And I ate a good meal, and John brought in some donuts. Steve was sitting there, and I said, no, I don't want any. He said, I'm not going to eat no, I don't want no donuts. That's how I wasn't going. I said, I don't want no donuts. And Steve got him when he was eating. I said, what kind of donuts is in there? And old Steve said, I'm going to get you a donut. He ran in there and grabbed me and brought me back. He said, what kind you want? I said, well, give me that lemon for your cream fill. And I ate that thing and I regretted it after eating it. I tasted that thing for a while after a full meal. But anyhow, you got to be determined to do what needs to be done. And if you're not focused and you don't really have a good determination about it, and you will get in front of a temptation. The devil tempts you on every hand, everything he can to persuade you to fall again, to do again things you got no business doing. Boy, he's a professional. He's a god of your flesh. But you got to be determined. You got to be determined. You got to see the need there, and you got not just a weight. That's just another poor illustration. But spiritually speaking, which is important, you got to see the need of the welfare of others that you're coming in contact with. You running around and you blowing smoke rings, are you chewing something? Are you doing things you got no business doing, saying things you shouldn't be saying, going places you shouldn't be going, and you ought to be in church time or somewhere else, or anything, your attitude's not good. Listen, you're not a blessing, you're a burden. You're not a stepping stone, you're a stumbling block. You're not a help, you're a hindrance. God have mercy on you. You're jeopardizing souls. And if you don't eat what God gives you, He's got a great diet, I'll guarantee you. I'll guarantee you, it'll make you prosper, it'll make you grow, it'll make you beneficial, it'll make you bear fruit, it'll make you bear a lot of fruit, and that's what He wants you, that you bear much fruit. But if you don't abide in Him, you can't bear much fruit. That's what He said. Although you're in Him, if you don't abide in Him by obeying His Word, you will not bear much fruit. If you don't bear any fruit, then you're going out. He's going to take you out. That's what He said. You're going to be taken out of here. So you better be careful about how you do, what you do, and how you conduct yourself as a believer. As I said, Paul said, you're our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing in the presence of the Lord Jesus at His coming. I said, that's when we go to Him to face Him at the judgment seat. But he said, and I said, the thought come to me, a lot of folk, God have mercy, most folk in our generation are not going to know all that. They're going to know sorrow, shame, and suffering of loss. God have mercy on you. I'm telling you, eternal loss, and blood on your hand. God help you. God have mercy on you. I'm glad I'm not in some of your shoes. I've not been perfect, but I've not shunned to preach the gospel. I've made personal mistakes, but nothing concerning this book. I love it. I said to God this morning, as I was back there, and I said, this word's wonderful. But God help me. I don't have no intention, no desire for it, no thought for it. But Satan is bigger than I am, and I realize that. I said, don't ever let me, my mind puffed up to think that I know anything, or that I've learned anything, that I've obtained anything within myself, or that I'm going to have any ability to do it. God have mercy on my ignorant, weak, vile, stinking, trashy, filthy, abominable self. And I don't believe I could say enough about my rotten, fleshly self. But help me. I'm helpless. I'm highly capable of getting in that kind of fix in that kind of way. I've got no desire. I don't intend to do it. It's not in my mind or heart to do that. God knows that. But I'm sad if I act like a fool, give place to the devil. I'm in trouble, and so are you. You can't match up with the devil. You can't make war with the devil except you be strong in the Lord. How do you do that? By the word of God. Man's not living by bread alone, but by every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Remember the word of God. Keep the word of God. Obey the word of God. Let the word of God dwell richly in you. If you'll do that, you'll prosper. All right, I'm going to quit. We'll start, the Lord willing, chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians next week, and speak to you in the maybe a couple of chapters at a time. Whatever God sees fit, that's what we'll do. And we'll speak to you probably a couple of chapters at a time, if it's the Lord's will, and verse by verse, and try to, God give us some more enlightenment, some understanding, break down these different scriptures here in these two letters, these two epistles to the church at Thessalonica. All right, if I got anything special in your heart you want to say, share. If you do, feel free. Things you want to share or say.